Today, Raghu has planned a very special seva treat for you in the form of an exclusive interview with an individual who has dedicated his entire adult life following his master Bhagwan Baba's call that service to man is service to God. An eminent Malaysian, he was featured as one of Malaysia's top 10 in a magazine that described him as a distinguished pioneer in the growth of a nation. Yes, today Radio Sai is pleased to bring you an exclusive conversation with Dato J. Jagadishan of Malaysia. Recently, I had the honor of interviewing him on the many innovative Sai service projects that he has initiated or participated in towards building nation and communities in Malaysia. We hope you will find this conversation as energizing and as much of an eye-opener as it was for us here in Radio Sai. And here then it is for your listening pleasure, a special presentation from Service Love in Action today. Please enjoy. Sairam sir, and welcome to Radio Sai.
Thank you.
So we have just observed the third Aradhana Day to mark the transition of the avatar to the cosmic consciousness. At this juncture, when you look back, as someone who's been with Bhagwan since 1976, what, according to you, is the true and lasting legacy of Bhagwan Baba?
Ma, it's a very, very good question, okay? The lasting legacy of Swami must actually be created by the devotees themselves. You look at every great master who appeared on this earth. Let's take Rama. It is Anuman who exalted Rama by what he did, okay? It is Arjuna and the Pandavas that exalted Krishna. It is 11 disciples of Christ. Christ, for example, let me take an example of Christ, okay? Christ was there, he disappeared at the age of 15, came back at 30, 3 years he preached and crucified. How can in 3 years, 11 disciples, they? So the legacy of Satya Sai must start now. Swami has led the framework, he's led the, look, Christ had 11 disciples, Baba has millions, you know? So the question is now, I always tell people, we for many years, we came to Puttaparthi seeking Swami's blessing in our lives. Now our lives must become Swami's blessings to the world. This should be. So he has left a legacy of love. For me, basically, ma, unity of faiths. His symbol from the very beginning, you know, he put his symbol unity of faith. But what do we do now? He has given us a direction, actually, what we should do. But I find now around in Malaysia, everywhere, we just clap our hands and sing Allah, Buddha, Jesus, in our little centers, and think that's going to create unity of faith. What are we doing proactively now to reach out and unite people, you know? For many years before Swami's Mahasamadhi, I was thinking to myself, Swami, what should be your world legacy? What should be your world in the time to come? Actually, this is 2010. Somewhere else, October, September 2010, 6 months before Mahasamadhi. So I was thinking, Swami, what should be a world legacy? Then I wrote down a paper called The Legacy. Then I came to Puttaparthi and I was sitting in the veranda. Swami came to me. I put the book on his lap, 15 minutes down the veranda. Everybody was watching the drama. Swami, I said, what should be a world legacy, Swami? Swami, it cannot be the water project in India. There cannot be a world legacy. It cannot be a two super special hospital in India. There cannot be a world legacy. It cannot be even the two universities in India. It cannot be. What should be a world? In other words, Swami, what should religious and political leaders in the years to come to Prashanti Nilayam, to the Sanctum Sanctorium now. You are called Masam, I call it the Sanctum Sanctorium. And they are not devotees. They just want to thank Baba for the work the devotees have done in the nations. So what is it now? And basically, it must be everything we else we do, you know, old folks home, leprosarium, poor feeding, kitchen, you know, so now what, soup kitchen, all this, you know, medical camps. Thousands of other NGOs are doing it also, you know. So I ask myself, how come the thousands of NGOs are doing all these things without the avatar coming and telling them? Are we the specially gifted, stupid people of the world that Baba must come and tell us to do what thousand NGOs are doing? Much is nothing greater, you know. Basically, it's transformation of human consciousness. Two things I realize now. Two things, and I put this in this document, Swami, I said, the two things that 60 years ago was not a problem in the world, and now it's a massive, massive expanding problem. And you've already given us a clue what we should do, but you're not doing much about it yet. Not yet. I mean, it will possibly move on. Number one, unity of faith. In today, I can imagine, in all the time in human history, can religion cause a world war? Right now, America, Middle East, within Middle East itself, Israel and Muslim Islam.
But what about the Nazis?
Not world war. The Nazis, not a religious thing. Nazi was not religious, you know.
But it was, he had hatred for
the
sense of superiority of
exactly,
the Aryan race.
Right, but it was not a religious conflict. Today, Christian and Islam, Jewish and Islam, look at Sri Lanka, Sinhalese and Tamils, flip the coin, Buddhists and Hindus, Fiji, they say Fijians and Indians, flip the coin, Hindus and Christians. If the whole of India and Pakistan was Hindu, the Kashmir conflict won't be there. They'll fight for some other reason, definitely. People fight, good reason to fight. But if the whole of Kashmir and India was Muslim, the conflict won't be there. For some other reason, they'll find. Ireland. So everywhere around the world, you know, religion that's supposed to cause the greatest human unity and love and caring and sharing has become a flashpoint for conflict. What can we now do to unite people together? So this is a big challenge, you know, facing us. So this is one of the things I put there. Swami, the first challenge. The second challenge, Swami, I said. Swami, I said 60 years ago, this is not a problem. Today is a massive problem in the world. What is it? Swami, you were the role model, I said, for this. This is reverence for father and mother. Swami, I said, in Singapore, which is a Chinese nation, 80% Chinese, and for Chinese, there's something called Xiao. Xiao is filial piety. It's a fundamental base of Chinese civilization. Today in Singapore, the government has passed a law whereby parents can sue the children for neglecting them. The government proposed a law. People said, what nonsense, you know, which parents will sue the children? The moment the law was passed, I was following the story. Six couples came to the office commission. And one mother said, my daughter prefers to feed the dogs rather than look after us. Now when address groups around the world, I might tell the Indians, Indians don't think, the Chinese, we Indians, Mata, Pita, Guru, Deva. Nonsense. India, the government has passed a law whereby the government can sue the children for abandoning parents, okay? It's an expanding crisis, okay? So what can now, look at Baba. He was a classic role model, okay, for what a noble son should be. His mother wanted a small well. He created thousands of miles, you know, of water. Mother wanted a small school, created universities, free universities. Mother wanted a clinic, he created super hospitals. In other words, Swami exceeded parental expectation. And he kept on saying it again and again and again. You all should go out and do this, you know, you should get, you know, there's a quotation Swami of Jagat talks about the Satyasa organization must go and do this, you know. So transform consciousness of youth and make them aware. The parents must come back to the center of human life. So this, Swami Ma, are the two greatest challenges now. It is not an activity of giving food or thing. It's actually attaining human consciousness. So, what do we do? After Swami, I gave the document, Swami really, because that is very frail already, you know. He blessed it. I took it back. Now let's launch it. No talking. We're not talking. So, in Malaysia, we formed something called the Friendship Group for Interreligious Service. Malaysia is 60% Muslim, you know, country. But we had done so much work in Malaysia in the past, and so much social work, helping the Muslims, everyone. That when we went, I realized that two biggest challenges would be the Catholic Church, Archbishop, and the Muslim groups. We approached them. Both of them gave full support. We know what your good work Sai Baba is doing here in Malaysia. We're fully with you. So now the friendship, when everyone thought it won't last, now we got Muslims, Christians, Buddhists, Sikhs, Hindus, all in this alliance, you know. And organizations, the leaders are there with us. What do we don't talk about religion? We hold hands and do service together. Medical camps together. You see, Satyasai movement by ourselves, you know, we have done more than 1,500 medical camps in Malaysia. Now the medical camp we do now has got two motives. One is not only service, but unity of faith. Done under the auspice of Satyasai Baba Central Council of Malaysia. What we did was actually, how did it happen? When I was President of Sai Council, this thing was bugging me. We must create unity. No point just singing and clapping hands and everyone saying. So what we did in Malaysia early days, how we won the confidence of the religious group was this. In Malaysia, there are five major religious festivals. There is Deepavali, Islamic Eid, you know, Christmas, there is Buddha Purnima, and Chinese New Year. What we used to do, that time no interfaith alliance, we just, okay, let's go and do it, you know. So we launch every major festival, we will launch a major service project in the name of the religion. So Christmas we launch in the name of Christ. invite the Christian priest to come, you know, and cut a ribbon or hit a gong or whatever it is, you know, some medical camp or whatever it is, and then we will sing Christian songs, and you know, Buddha Purnima we will do for the Buddhists, you know, like this. So we began to invite, so they began to say, what is this guy, why are they celebrating Buddha Purnima, Christmas is such a big thing. So like this, they intrigue, you know, that we are not really fanatical about Sai Baba, Sai Baba, but Sai Baba is encouraging us to do these kind of things, okay. So much so that when we finally came to the point when, after 9-11, actually, the friendship group was launched after 9-11. When I saw this crisis, I realized, no more talking, we must unite people. Don't talk about religion. Let's join together this service. So all the religion supporters. So this friendship group was launched. Now, people thought they'll die. Now 11 years, 12 years, 13 years now. And now we are so well recognized, the Malaysian government desperately also trying to create interfaith unity. The Malaysian government is happy to sponsor, like to fund us to go and do things, okay? We are considered one of the most powerful allies of the Malaysian government now, which is basically Muslim people. They realize that we are doing goodness. You know? As Christ said, only by our work we will be known. So that's one aspect. I told Swami, this nowadays, what the world has now, I mean, nowadays, parent, they have once a year Father's Day, Mother's Day. Father's Day, the son will give a card with a name, dear Papa, with a poem written by someone else, they can't have their own poem, I love you, and give a purse to the father. Swami, this is cannot be, no, this not this nonsense, no, father, so, Swami, I will like launch a hope agenda. Honor our parents every day, H-O-P-E. I tell the youth nowadays, how do your parents pray when they pray? Are they saying, God, thank you for this wonderful son, thank you for this wonderful daughter? Are they praying like that? What have I done to deserve such a wonderful son? Are they crying, God, what sin did I do to get this kind of fellows, you know? We must work like that, you know. Your parents must thank God that you exist as your son and daughter. So the hope agenda was launched. Ma, this we took it to the interfaith group. They were fully supportive. We took it to the government. We took it to the Ministry of Education. They was, because no one knew what to do. Now we gave them what to do. They allowed us to go into every government schools, you know, and more than 5,500 children in 2012 took part in the Hope Agenda. You know, we had kindergarten people, we had a lot of programs, you know. We don't lecture to them, make them do things, you know.
Like cultural programs, like dramas.
Exactly.
Songs.
What do? We tell them we have the choral singing. Mm-hmm. They must compose their own songs about love for father and mother. Drama. They must compose their own scripts. Basically, the science is this. If you lecture them on this, they'll go into your conscious mind and go away. But now they do rehearsals and they love their father, all they're going to subconscious mind. Only if we get them to go into subconscious mind, can transformation take place. 5,500 kids took part in this. It was such an incredible program. And the Ministry of Education gave full support to that. 2013, we took it to ASEAN. So we have Malaysia, Singapore, Thailand and Indonesia.
And the Philippines.
And they came to Malaysia. And they took part in this. Each of them did a drama. We told them, do a competition in your own countries. Choose the best and come. So we did that. Look, the Hope Agenda itself is meant for children who are still under parental guidance. They still have work students. They depend on the look. The key is this. What about those guys who are already working now? Those are guys who are abandoning parents, you know. The guys who are abandoning parents or not looking at them are those guys already working. You know, they don't care anymore, you know. So we launch a program called Award for Dharmic Son and Dharmic Daughter. Actually, what motivated me to do this, very interesting. There's one girl who motivates, like Helen of Troy, whose face launched thousands. One girl, young girl, who happens to be a daughter of one of our Sai leaders, you know. She went to London to do law. And after she came back from law, in Malaysia, it must be in India, same. They have to do this 1 year bar, you know, exam, you know, before they can pick. The moment she came back, her father was a very good Sai leader, you know. Mother was a Balvikas guru. Mother's contact brain cancer. This family is wealthy enough to hire 3 maids. You know, we get maids from Indonesia, Bangladesh, to look after the mother. This girl said, no, my mother looked at me when I was young. I will look after my mother. So she abandoned her career, stayed at home for 3.5 years. And looked after the mother, cleaned, and as the mother's condition deteriorated, the brain went, she could not move, you know, much, you know. I gave this session in Memphis, USA once, you know. I told them, and third year, she had to clean the mother's feces, bother, you know, like a maid would. But I said, not like a maid, but like a daughter would 1 generation ago. But today, the daughters won't do that. They think maids must do that, you see. And she looked after the mother, so, such dedication. Finally, mother passed away. Then she did her law. Deba, now she's a lawyer. This was something that moved me tremendously. You know? Today when children sometimes, The parent only father, they will abandon, Papa, I'm going overseas study, and they'll go and work there, and then poor father and mother, only child, they do this. This girl did this. So what, we had a huge Psy convention in Malaysia, 2,000 people were there. I didn't tell the Psy council guys I'm doing this. I suddenly called on stage, I said, listen, I would love now, I'd like to admit a new program. Satya Sai Award for Dharmic Son, Dharmic Daughter. And for Dharmic Son, that award went to Suresh. Why? That fella, very close, he's got two other siblings, you know, boys, males, and one daughter. They're all living in one house, okay? This fella went and did law in, his science in Singapore. He got a PhD in Singapore. The Singapore University offered him a salary three times the offer in Malaysia. The guy come back and said, they're offering me this, but I'm coming back. I said, why? You know, my father missed me. No, not that his father depends upon him. Father got two other sons and all working also, you know. Just the thought that the father will miss me, he abandoned that career and came back here to University of Malaya. But of course now he never regretted the decision. I mean, he became a real tremendous superstar in the science field, okay, you know. And now he's a member of Senate and all this. Then I gave him the award. Then I said, next award, Dharmic Daughter, I said. And I told him, whatever Suresh has done, it pales compared to what this girl did, I said. And I read out the citation. I kept her why I'm giving this again. I tell you, Ma, that day, mothers were crying in the hall, okay. And she came on stage. I said, Ma, thank you for bringing into modern times an Puranic ideal, you know. You know. So that triggered off that particular thing. Then I took it out to the Psy Council. I gave it to the Hindu Sangam of Malaysia. And I said, all right, for 3 years I'll give this award, you know, a golden something like the bracelet. And the Hindu Sangam, you must see we had a science of how to do this, a methodology of doing this. And we gave this to the award for 3 years. And I will say, 3 years after that, you all continue. You know, I can't look out of this. Well, you must see the stories of sacrifice, Ma. These, for me, you see, nowadays we give awards for best runner, best swimmer, best mountain climber. The heroes of today should be these children, not children, as young adults, who sacrifice of parents, show the ideal of what all religions talk about. I tell them, listen, it's not something Jagga is telling, you know. Not even something Swami is telling also all the time. All the religions say that. Look at Hinduism, Mata Pita Guru Devam. Islam says, heaven lies at the feet of the mother. In Christianity, one of the 10 commandments, honor your father and mother. What's happened to all that? Then what happened, I did something unusual. I was at time working in, I was a senior economic advisor to the government of Japan for the Asia-Africa economic strategy. And I was working in Zambia, you know, for 6 years. I was living there. I used to go there 4 times a year. And I was working with the cabinet, with the president's office, you know, an economic recovery program. That's my main, I'm a development economist. So one day, I was thinking, let me introduce you to Zambia. I must tell you this, man, the power of a programmer, that must be so, I tell people, why should anyone accept any program? If all the bulbs are 40-watt bulbs, no one can see the difference. But you make yours as 100-watt bulb, my God, they can see that. You need not even explain further, you know. So once I had to brief the president of Zambia, late, he passed away now. And the Japanese ambassador, all this year, the president was very busy, he said, Jagga, come on Sunday to my house. So Japanese ambassador, all of us went with a projector, everything. Said, and I had 5 economic issues to get it approved for. So he said, oh, okay. Then I finished. No, see, the Japanese government thing, these guys, they're very, very strict, you know. You just, their program, you do it. You can't vary from that, okay? But, you know, I don't care. Swami is bigger than anyone. So, after briefing the 5 things, sir, I got one more point issue I got to make. Nothing to do with our Japanese program. It's something to do with me as a human being, you as a human being, sir, I said. If you want me to continue, you know, I stop here. He said, continue, sir. So I present now, on a PowerPoint presentation, the Presidential Award for Noble Son, Noble Daughter. PowerPoint presentation. What is the crisis facing mankind today? What is the issue? How we can blah, 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 blah. Yes, sir, if you want this program, sir, then you appoint one of your people to work with them to launch that. And Satya Central Council of Malaysia will present 2 shields. You know, the Award for Dharmic Son, Award for Dharmic Daughter, with love and psyche, we'll present this. I flashed a picture of the shield also. Which one? I think. President sat stunned, you know. I want this program. I want this program. Immediately appointed his people and formed the team, work on it. Then we brought the shields in for Malaysia and gave it to them. You see, everybody now wants to realize this is a crisis, you know. But no one knows how to do it. But Swami has given us the methodology and at least the vision and the motivation how it can happen, you see. Poor nations and rich nations have same different problems of food or health, whatever, but they're different. But this problem of unity of religion, faith, and parents is a universal problem, whether you are poor or rich, you know, everywhere in Africa, US, everywhere. So for me, this should be the legacy of Satya Sai. He's transformed human consciousness, you know, to bring back the ideals that Baba has talked about. You know, the Sarvadharma emblem, you know, is not just something to put and clap hands about, you see. It's an action agenda to make things happen. So this, I mean, we go around everywhere and talk about. I went to Little Rock, Arkansas. I was invited. And they had a session on the role of religion in national unity and caring society. So, you had it in this great hall of Clinton. You know, every president has they built a library in the great hall of Clinton. 400 plus packed the hall. They invited religious leaders, you know. So, I was the keynote speaker. I was given 40 minutes. And everybody else, there are one Catholic, one Protestant, one Islamic chap, and one lecture of theology. They're supposed to comment or give their views on the same subject. So I got up and said, gentlemen, very simple. You guys, you all know more philosophy than me, you know. Let me show you what we have done, the Satya Sai Central Council of Malaysia has done in an Islamic, majority Islamic nation like Malaysia. And I flashed on the screen the Friendship Group for Intelligence, what activity we've done, okay? On the ground, what are we doing on the ground? When we finish, you know, these four guys sitting there, the Catholic priest got up. He said, what can I say, you know? This is fantastic. He abandoned his speech. Okay, no, I'm not coining philosophy. I'm telling what's happening on the ground. Within 5 minutes, he finished. I think everybody said, so every five, instead of 20 minutes, everybody 5 minutes, they finished. Then everybody said, thank you very much, you know, Jagdish, for coming. I said, Chairman, can I say something else? What? If all of us clap our hands and go home today, we wasted 400 plus time here. If you think what I've said is worthwhile, in a Muslim majority country, you can do it easily here. You launch a program, interfaith program, that will benefit people. Then the chairman, how many of you think is worth it? Everybody put up their hand, they support. You won't believe, man, there was 2006 something. 1.5 years later, they invited me again for the launching of Harmony Clinic, the first ever free interfaith medical clinic in Little Rock, Arkansas. And actually, all this was organized by one of our side devotees, you know, one Sunny Anand, you know, he was Sikh, you know, incredible. We have got things, you know, you must see, Ma, we did the same thing in Fiji. Okay, it's very interesting how I got close. I went for an economic conference. And the organizers of the economic conference, in their program, because I'm the guest from overseas, they put me as the first speaker for the second, and the Prime Minister second. So when I walked, I saw this boy, I said, what? I said, brother, how can you do this, you know? Let the Prime Minister speak first, okay? Then he can listen to what I'm saying. So then they quickly change it. So, I mean, then I spoke, and then I spoke about the economic thing. Basically, economic thing is, I was part of the team in Malaysia that built this, we had massive unemployment, you know, we were part of the team that created the Malaysian success story, you know, from 1970. So that model, everyone says, how did Malaysia succeed, you know, so dramatically in 10 years, okay?
Economic model.
How we created from ground zero, we became one of the major world exporters, you know, in 10 years. So this was what I was sharing with the BJP. When I finished, the Prime Minister Mujaga, can you brief the whole parliament on this subject? All the ministers, all the members. So I said, okay. So I briefed all the members of parliament. I told him, in fact, opportunity. So he became very close to me. So what happened, I was there 1 week. The end of the session, the Sai people organized this conference on interfaith. And he was invited to be the guest of honor. And there I presented to him what the interfaith thing we're doing. I said, Mr. President, interfaith can only be done not by talking about it, okay? We must grow on the ground. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll tell you how the vision started, Ma.
Right.
After 9/11, mm-hmm. See, Malaysia...
Which, of course, was a huge...
shock to the world.
Shock to the world, and it was caused due to religious intolerance.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Now, in Malaysia, whatever, as soon as 9/11 took place, everyone in the world started interfaith dialogue. Dialogue, suddenly they realized we must talk to each other. In Malaysia also, there is something called the Consultative Council for Buddhism, Christianity, Hinduism, Sikhism, and Taoism. Watch, Islam is not there. Why? Because the Muslim groups now are the majority. So they know you all form any whatever interfaith group, you want to use the Muslim strength to strengthen the thing. So no Muslim group in Malaysia has ever joined any interfaith alliance. Everyone get together. The individuals will come and speak, but not as organizations. This was it. So the Consultative Council, after 9/11, organized a symposium on the religion and unity. Because I'm known as an interfaith man, so they invited me to speak. That was only non-religious person there. Now, they were all the monks were there with the clothes there. So, I was wondering what am I to say. So, I went and sat down and the others were speaking. My turn came. Now, this summary of what I said, actually Swami guided me. I know what I'm going to say. I just got away. Swami, I said, gentlemen, I said, reverence, honored monks, holy people of the Malaysia, all my brothers and sisters, frankly, I think all of us are wasting our time here. Boom! That was our absolute silence, shock. The monk who invited me, you know, he put his head like this. What is madman Jagai going to say? You will think why I'm saying this, right? I'll tell you why. The fact that all of you are in this hall today shows you're already converted. You believe in interfaith. But let me tell you this. If tomorrow there's an interfaith conflict in Malaysia, none of us fat cats will take a knife after each other. The people who take the knife are those in the slum area, the squatter area, the high-rise slum areas, poor areas. They will take the knife. It is they who must be convinced that interfaith is a living reality. Not something we speak in air-conditioned halls here like this and pat us on the back, we give a good speech, you know. Now here's where I played a very fine line, okay. I said, now, if for some mental aberration, I'm telling all the religious people, if for some mental aberration we have, we refuse to pray in another man's hall of prayer because we want to lock the omniscient, omnipresent God inside the four walls of our own little building, carry on. You do that. But nothing to prevent Muslims, Christians, Hindus, Buddhists holding hands and serving the poor where the sky is the roof and the earth, you quoted Baba saying, sky is the earth is the ground. Everybody clapped their hands. On that day, I realized what we should do. Of course, after the meeting, they didn't do and everyone was giving towards seminars, you know. I went back, called the council together. Guys, no more no individual groups coming, you know. We go for the juggler. Let's go for the Catholic Church, and that's why then the fancy group was launched. And Islam came in. We got the most volatile group that's called ABIM, the National Islamic Youth Wing, became part of our alliance. You know what they told us when I approached them? The Archbishop, of course, after some year, he said, okay. Everyone knows Muslim has not joined any group so far. You know, the guys, Mr. Jagai, we've been watching the Sai Baba group, and I've told them for many years. We've got to file this thick on the Sai Baba organization. And you yourself personally, you've got to file this thick. I said, wow, mine is smaller, so small. I said, why you have this file? You know what they did? I didn't realize until that day, you know. You see, when you do our medical camps, and you see, Malaysia, very rural populations, you know. The poor are the Muslims area. They are the rural areas. So when you, in those areas, 95% of Muslims will be Muslims. Our task force in Malaysia, the Sai Council task force, will be Chinese and Indians. Because by Malaysia and by law, no Muslim can take part to be a member of a non-Muslim organization. In fact, no Muslim is allowed to even participate in a non-Muslim religious activity. You can't, if you're a Muslim is caught in a Sai center for Bali, we get in trouble, they also get in trouble. So with also many other functions that the Christians have open functions, they put a sign. Everybody welcome except Muslims. You know, this by law. Fine. So we now, suddenly now here they see this group now, Sai Baba group, going into villages and rural areas where 95% Muslims, with a task force of Chinese Indians, you know. Of course, sometimes some of the Muslim friends, doctors will join, okay. They were, why are we doing this? Why, what's their motive, you know? They were thinking, I didn't realize that, okay. One of the strict instructions I give this our Sai people, you know. When you do service, don't talk about Baba, okay? Your job is not to promote Baba. Baba can bring devotees. I was anti-Sai, you know, he can make me a devotee, he doesn't need your help. Our job is to make a Christian better Christian, Buddhist better Buddhist, Muslim better Buddhist, and serve ourselves by serving others. That's it. You don't have, if you tell them, you become a better Muslim. But of course, the only thing, Sai Baba, Central Council, Sai Baba already doing this. We declare that very publicly. Sai Baba already doing this. So what these fellows will do, this Muslim group did is, after we leave, they go around interviewing the people. I didn't realize this, you know. What did they say?
And did they try to convert you, I guess?
They talk about Sai Baba, did I like this? They might ask them. And they all told us you're better Muslim, they did service, that's all, okay. So this impressed them, you know. So they had many years, about 10, 15 years, they're monitoring us.
They were maintaining this dossier.
Maintaining dossier, first of all. He said, Mr. Jaga, this guy telling me, the president telling me, Mr. Jaga, we've been monitoring you for many years. We know that you are very sincere people. We are with you. And the first time in Malaysian history, a Muslim, the National Islamic Youth Wing is the one. Something there's some international trouble overseas, you know. Some Muslim, they'll be demonstrating in front of the embassy, you know, and they'll go into that. That's the kind of thing they do. They joined us. And today, this Islamic Youth Wing, National Islamic, is the strongest supporter. Recently, I tell you what, because we started this, you know, we automatically took the chair of this meeting. We are sort of, you know, people like accept our chairman, the Christian father, everyone, you know. So the first, I was the chairman of that. I was advised, because I was traveling too much, you know.
The first chairman was Mr. Chia Wun Kong. You know, he was the President of Sai Council. The second chairman was Billy Fong. He chaired it. When he became President of Sai Council, you know. But 2 years ago, Dr. Suresh was taking over President of Sai Council. So we had the meeting of the interfaith alliance. All the religious leaders were there. So I suggested, no. I said, look, I always have brothers and sisters, no, I mean, make it all brothers and sisters. So we try to keep a very, very high brotherhood kind of feeling again. And listen, we've been chatting this for the last 10 years, you know, sir. Can I suggest from now on, we rotate the chairmanship. The next chairman, let Abim, the Muslim youth, take them for next year, then the Christians can take over like this. I threw that card at the table. What thunders, the Muslim president, Mr. Jega, not necessary, Dato, you call me Dato, you know. Dato, not necessary. We are very happy with Sai Baba is doing. You all please continue to chair. We'll give full support. One day said, and you know, in Malaysia...
Wow, so much confidence.
Exactly. In Malaysia, you ask anyone, most of the groups now, if there's any Muslim, will be the leader. Because they all... They said, no, you all continue. So, and at one day, Catholic father said yes, yes, everyone said yes. So now we automatically, you know, continue as chairman. So Suresh now is chairman of the French group. I'm advisor, you know, for it. So like this, you know, that means we have the power. We have the power to transform people. But the power must manifest through our love and through our commitment to Sai ideal, you know. People, why should anyone accept our leadership? You suddenly come, we lead them. Why should anyone accept it? No. Unless you show that you've done something. The others are not doing, you see.
And I guess having a very well thought out program.
Exactly.
Definitely helps.
That is not definitely, that is the formula.
Yeah.
You know. I tell you another story of Swami's miracles. Mm-hmm. See, for me, Ma, I talk about, nowadays I go around the world, I talk less and less about Swami's miracle, Vibhuti coming, pictures, that all. Now, in fact, if I talk about the personal interview with Swami, I talk less about that, you know why? Now the new people won't have that chance, you know. Mm-hmm. But I tell, listen, now let us not talk anymore about the miracle of Satya Sai, that you can read about it everywhere, you know. Because, and the fact that, why should you be surprised Baba is doing miracles? You'll be surprised if you cannot do miracles, okay? He's avatar, you know, is it? Let us talk about the miracle of Sai devotion. Can devotees create miracles? By sheer faith and devotion, that Baba will come through. This is the great challenge now facing us. Can we, see Baba talks to Atolava, but are we manifesting vibhuti, you know? Hey guys, I tell them, we must start manifesting vibhuti in society. So everybody looks at me, what are Jagat talking about? No, the vibhuti, where you put the fire that you can buy, you know? Vibhuti, in Bhagavad Gita, vibhuti means manifestation of God's glory. We must create the manifestation of God's glory in society. And through the manifestation of God's glory, they must see the avatar. So, I mean, how do we test all this kind of thing? I'll tell you one story, yeah? Baba's always said, you know, we have the power to transform. He said, no, we have the power, you thought of. So one day I called the council guys together. Hey guys, listen. That time I was president of Sai Council. If Baba says we have the power to transform, you know, what is it? I mean, is he just saying to entertain us and give us something? Or really do we have the power? Let's test it out. So they said, how? So I gave them an idea, okay? Even the dark skinned Indians became pale, okay? So yeah, why are you suggesting such a difficult program? You know, can't we choose something easier, they said. Say, brother, very simple. If the floor is half white, half black, no one knows which part we made white. If the floor is totally black, they can see the way they make them. Let's do this. So what's the program? The program is called ABC, Action for the Betterment of Community. I went to the mayor of Kuala Lumpur City, Muslim gentleman. I told him this. Mayor, show us the area in Kuala Lumpur City that is the highest crime rate, highest juvenile delinquency, highest problems, you know. Give us 3 years, we'll bring it down. Now, I don't know why I did this, also, no, but I mean, somehow that you know, we call it the Uru, you know, Swami was in me. He said, why you want to do this? He asked me, the mayor. I said, sir, you see, Baba says we have the power to transform. I want to see whether we can transform people, okay. But we'll do it to an interfaith alliance, okay. So he chose an area in Kuala Lumpur called Sunping. Sunping Flats, the heart of the city, high rise urban slum, everywhere like that, no? High urban slum, very poor areas, high wealth. The police have declared the area as a black area. There is high. Even police will then go alone. They go two by two. And there, the population is about, I can't remember exactly, 7,000, 8,000 Muslims, about 5,000 Chinese, and about 2,000 Indians. That time, without friendship was not formed. I took some friends, you know, our Muslim friends, Christian people, all this, you know. And I'm a Datto, you know, in Malaysia, Datto is like a sir title given for... So,
it's a conferred title.
It's a conferred title by the Sultan, you know,
right.
For work done. So it's like your what? Your Abu...
Knighthood. Knighthood by the queen. So,
sir so-and-so. So they call it Datto. I'm a Datto. So Dattos normally don't go around and sweep drains and do this. No. They just go and open, bless people and go off, you see. So, exactly. Now then... I took another Muslim friend of mine, also a Datto. So three Dattos over there, join me, they couldn't believe it. You know. And one of my Muslim friends, who was actually the editor of the New States Times, he couldn't believe the program, Jaga, I'll join you. Look, I'll tell you, I'll co-chair with you. So he became a co-chairman. So two of us, one Muslim myself, co-chaired
both Dattos.
Both Dattos co-chaired this ABC. We went into the area. It was like a baptism of fire, Because Muslims challenge us first, Who are you? Why are you doing this? Who is Sai Baba? When I started the Sai Baba group, That time without the friendship group before. We told, listen, we are like St. John's ambulance. When St. John's helps you, doesn't mean you pray to St. John, So like this, now Sai Baba won't help you. No, he's a prayer to Sai Baba because he help you. Everybody very suspicious, Normally all these groups go there to the place and they do some little bit and disappear. Then now here, all the Dattos, We were there, ma, every day, every week. We were there week after week after week after week. And we won the Muslim youth to our. We took them to a seaside resort and gave them a briefing. They joined us. Muslims joined us. The Hindus were easier in one sense because Hindu have a small population here. There's a Hindu temple by the side there. We went and sang bhajans there. After the bhajan, we spoke. So don't forget, in Malaysia, most of the Hindus in the area are Tamils, So we sang bhajans in Tamil, each Tamil, through the Tamil songs, we conveyed values to them, And they came in. Because the Chinese leaders who were coming in the meetings did not have the grassroots contact with the Chinese. And Chinese are interested altogether. They are business people, They are interested. So we could not get the Chinese in, So I went to the Buddhist monk, One Buddhist monk, I said, monk, I'm going to problem with Chinese. He said, Jaga, you do this. The Chinese, why should they come for any meeting you have, Organize a blessing ceremony. Then they'll come. Fantastic. So there's a hall in this place, I called Chinese monks and Buddhist monks, everything, chanting, hitting the gong, chanting prayers. Blessing for family, blessing for daughter, blessing for son, blessing for marriage, blessing business. Everybody packed the hall, And while in between all this Chinese word blessing ceremony, we gave our program. We want you to come and help us. So please sign up. So this. Now, ma, we started. Watch this. First, I told them, look, we must make sure they know that we want to help them, Baba says, I just follow what Swami says. I give you what you want. Then you'll desire what I have to give. So we set up free computer ticketing center. The mayor was very kind. He gave us a room there. Free tuition. Free this. Then we, medical camps we organized there, Slowly, we began to form the alliance of these people. But we needed a tremendous task force to go inside immediately, But now, that Asai movement is actually in Kuala Lumpur City. We're doing a lot of service. Old folks home, blind home, leprosarium. I don't want to take the task force from these areas. I need a new, fresh blood. You know what we didn't want? This is again Swami's thing. I approached the corporate sector. I approached Coca-Cola, Colgate Palmolive. I briefed them. They were stunned, Okay, Jaga, you can brief our staff. If they want to volunteer, they want to. We briefed staff. 10 from Coca-Cola. 10 from Colgate Palmolive. 10 from Malaysian Mining Corporation. 15 from New States Times. 45 non-Sai volunteers came in, working with us. But that helped us, they didn't have the stamina to continue for long. But the 6 months they were with us gave us enough strength to pull in the local people, Then the locals clicked in. Suresh and all these guys were at the grassroots level there, we were there. That thing. But this is a great sacrifice, I'll tell you. Suresh did a tremendous job. His father had fell ill in an accident in a city called Ipoh, about 2 hours from Kuala Lumpur. This is where we'll go every day to the city there, come back at night, have meeting 8 o'clock here and like that. No, I tell you, today when I think of the sacrifice, we had to change consciousness, we can't just one day go this way. We had volunteers every day, on the ground. Every day, we had teams for sports, teams for culture, teams for education, teams for tourism. Hundreds of volunteers on the ground. This was an incredible sense of dedication they had, And they thought that here they're doing something so daring, so everybody wants to see whether they can do that. Program's going on. Third year was approaching, second year, and the biggest challenge after VRVR was the drug pushers. Now, we began to observe how to tackle these guys, These are very violent fellows, So, then our first report to me, Jaga, what's happening is, the duct pushers will go to all these dark areas, you know, in the high-rise flats, and there they will do their trade, okay? So we saw this. What we did, we got our volunteers to go quietly, and okay, guys, don't get shot, okay? They went, took a video of all these places. And we present the mayor. Mayor Legan. The rats are hiding in dark places. Light it up. Mayor agreed. So we went and the government put spotlights everywhere, and they made all the dark areas blind. It's going on. We are very happy, everything going on. Now, man, this is our Suresh, what happened? One day Suresh calls me. Anna means elder brother. Anna, you're trouble. I said, what? The duck pushers have told the local residents, tell the Sai Baba flesh to watch out. We're targeting them. I tell you, Ma, that day my hair, my blood went cold, you know. Really, you see my hair standing now, I'm going to tell you this again. Because really, I had youngsters down the ground, I had fathers, mothers, children, doctors, lawyers, engineers, all kinds of people on the ground, you know, of all ages, okay. I realize if one hair is touched on any of their heads, I am dead. Because they think, Jaga, how can you be so responsible? Irresponsible to send these kids and all these youngsters, these are young adults, into the highest crime area in Kuala Lumpur called declared black area by the police. How can you do this, you know? You know, and the Sai Organization would have been in bad trouble. So Suresh asked me what to do. And Suresh, I'll tell you tomorrow, I said. No, I must tell you something very extraordinary, okay? Either by now you must be convinced I'm crazy, or after what I tell you, that you'll be further convinced. I talked to Swami, you know. Everything I do, I talk to Swami. Swami, should I go jogging? I ask him, should I go jogging? He answers to me in every way. That day I went in front of the altar. I said, Swami, what do Swami now? If this thing happens, if anything happens to any of our volunteers on the ground, we are dead. Should I pull out? Ma, as I hear your voice clearly, Swami says, hey, tell them to care, Swami will protect, nothing will happen. So, Kerima, next day I call, Suresh, everyone continues, nothing will happen. No one asked me, how did Swami convey this? No one asked me, Ujjaga, what guarantee you got? I said, tell everybody to carry on, nothing will happen to them. Swami has given the assurance. The wonderful thing about it, no one asked me how Swami gave the assurance. Day went, Ma. And I tell you, we finished the program, 3 years finished. Massive program we did. Then, Billy Hong was part of it also. No? Then, third year I went to the mayor. Mayor, we're pulling out. I said. 3 years already. Because I couldn't sustain the devotee so many years. And you can imagine such a sustained program. The mayor said, okay, Jaga, I'll send my staff to the area to get a report card of what you've done. I said, fine. Because we're just doing things, you know. You know what happened, Ma? Then the mayor's staff went and did the report. I can send you the report. And the mayor called a meeting. Mayor, myself, and his staff, all Muslims, all heads of department. He outside, our Zaib task force, and all our volunteers, other volunteers who helped us, Muslims, Chinese, all were there. Okay? The mayor's people reported, Ma, vandalism, which is a massive problem there, break down by 90%. Crime, down by 60%. Drug pushing down by 70%. I mean, incredible. And then lepak, the word called lepak in Malaysia. Lepak means youth hanging around aimlessly doing nothing who could be wiped out totally. The mayor was stunned, you know. IV was stunned. The mayor said, looked at this, how is it possible? We got all the money, all the resources, how come these girls do this, we cannot do it? I said, listen, mayor, Jaga, how do you all do it? I said, well, sir, firstly, we depend much on God. We pray to God, God help us. Secondly, your people are good people. Actually, useless fellows, but what can I do? They are good people, I said. But sir, your people work from 8 o'clock in the morning to 5:30. The crime, the vandalism, the drug pushing, the violence begins 6 o'clock to midnight. That's when we were there. And I said, listen, no youth is bad, you know. And this is what Baba has told us. But who are the ones guiding them at that level? They hang around, you know, what they call lepak around there. Then somebody offers a cigarette, they'll take, they chase the girls, it goes on. Because the youth energy is not being tapped in this. All we did was, first we won the confidence of the youth. And then we gave them a channel to channel their talent. We organized song festivals there for them, you know, with drama festivals, you know, sport, all kind of things, you know, their talent being, all the youth are talented. Okay? No one gives them a chance to show the youth their talent. So then the youth love the program, you know. So it's a matter of us now channeling the energy. See, after 35, they're not causing trouble anymore. It is the guy that, the 18 years old, You know, then until 20, 20, 25, 26, these are the guys who could potential troublemakers, okay? And those are the guys, all the talent, ability and the energy, you see? So this was a stunning thing for us, okay? I mean, everybody is so pleased. Then the mayor said, Jagar, don't pull out, he said. I said, no, sir. 3 years, you know. Okay, the mayor said, we'll set up our own unit here, and you just help guide us. So it's okay. But then, unfortunately, the major change after that. So the thing, now after, God knows how many years now, this, everyone knows about this story, okay? Now the Department of National Unity has approached us. Can you duplicate this program in other areas? So now Suresh is... But this thing called ABC, Action for the Better Community, is a massive program. It means we had sports and games, we had about a song festival, drama, multiple things on the ground, you know, task forces. Very difficult for people to sustain that kind of thing, you know. I mean, it's like you don't have a chief going in there and then all the Red Indians, no, nobody following you, you see. So we modified it, now we call it CAP. Community Adoption Program. So, that means if you put all the program we did for the ABC on the table and tell the fellow, okay, you choose which you think you can do. Because you need to have a resource because you can't walk into an area and after, 2 months come out of it. Or credibility will go. So, choose the project you can do and do in a long, it must be sustainable.
Sustainable, yeah.
Well, what we do in Malaysia, I tell you, I ask them. One day I call the council guys together. Are we doing our best? No, Jacob, we're doing so many things, no one else is doing. Hey, don't tell me stories. What is best, is it? B-E-S-T. B. Any program we do must have benefit to the people. See, I told them the service of convenience must give way to service of need. What is service of convenience? Okay, let's do old folks program. Okay, old folks nearby here. Let's go and do... The old folks may not need your service. Because a lot of others are doing the same thing also. So they'll go and force them, okay, we can do one day. Orphanage, we're going to give food. Some orphanage in Malaysia, we go there, they'll tell, yeah, today we're very busy. Can you come in 2 weeks' time? Because I have so many other orphanages coming in. I said, that is marginal kind of service, you know. So, better, you must find that the poor and the needy are not next door to your house. You must seek them out. Seek them so that when they see you and you go help them, they must raise their hands and say, thank God I sent you to. Then we know. You know, not, okay, thank you very much, you know, the others also helping you, so we'll take care of. That's B, benefit. E, whatever we do must create enthusiasm, you know. And the energy among the devotees. Oh, this is something worthwhile doing. Then they'll come to you like this ABC program. How it is something that is on the ground for so many people. Because it's such a challenge we gave them, you know. Enthusiasm. We were there on the ground with the youth, you know. So E is enthusiasm. What is S? S is a sigh. Hey, don't bring sigh and spoil his name, okay. Like, keep that for a while. T. What is T? T is timing. That means that any program you do must meet the need of the hour. Let us say there's a fire. Big fire somewhere. And then you can't go and have a committee meeting, this and the other, and then 5 weeks later go and we'll do another. There's a problem that we must go and meet the challenge, the T. What is S? I said, guys, all of us are doing BET. Program benefit, we're doing Medicare, all fine. Enthusiasm is there, T is there. S is missing. Sustainability. That's the key. Sustainable programs that will transform into benefit for mankind. Not just one shot. ABC was one classic example. Sustainable agenda. So now we've got this CAV program doing in other places. Now we're going to schools in Malaysia, you know, where we went and transforming all this sure failures into success stories. There kind of a lot of programs like this. So this is what, I mean, for me, we cannot be like the million other NGOs in the world, okay? We are avatars people, I would say. And if we do the same thing 1,000 others are doing, you know, what is the difference, okay? So we must make an impact on human consciousness. Do things, you know, that we know that others... You know, the hand others will not touch, you know, the side hand will be there, you know. So it's dirty or difficult or most challenging is consciousness change. That is the big challenge. So let me finish by saying this HOPE agenda, HOP. Malaysia, it went like wildfire. Suresh goes to Mauritius. He talks of HOPE. They get so excited in Mauritius now. You know what happened in Mauritius now? If you go to Mauritius, you see 4 monuments, 5 foot tall HOPE monuments. Where a father and mother is blessing 2 children, the big statue, you know, says a HOPE, H-O-P. Then he says, the message is, seek your parents' blessing, whatever you do in life. Now what happened was, the 4th one, they put it in a fountain. Fountain, in a speaking fountain, they had a voice, you know, about father, mother, nicely done. And they invited me as the founder of this HOPE program, because I come along, and Suresh and I went there. They invited the president of Mauritius to launch it. The president came with his prepared speech. He saw what was happening. He put his speech away. He just thundered away, you know. Really a very inspiring speech he gave. And finally he said, no, I want to be, this whole program is a need of this nation. Honoring parents, you know, something is now declining now, you know, we must bring it back. I want to be patron for this program, he said. We were thundered again. Then when the program was over, we were having tea with him. You know what he said? I'd like to see a miniature version of this in front of every school in Mauritius. You see, again, what I say about the wattage bulbs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If you put a 40-watt bulb, 40-watt bulb, suddenly you put a 100-watt bulb, you know. Wow.
It stands out.
You know, and it must meet the need of the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it must benefit, enthusiasm, sustainability. And now these four monuments have become big tourist attraction. People go there and take pictures, you know. I think next they're going to be miniature and sell to people, whatever they do, you know. Now we've got very good world leaders now, now Reddy has taken over, he has liberalized, a lot of things, things are moving, and a lot of, good leaders are there, It is now, what program should we have is the thing, how do we have programs that will capture the imagination and benefit the nations, not just one community, but the nation itself must benefit.
To be able to translate Swami's teachings into a bigger vision.
Exactly.
You can participate in nation building as you are successfully doing in Malaysia.
Nation building. See, in Malaysia today, every minister all knows about Sai Sai Moon and Sai Baba, I'll tell you one funny story. This is very interesting, eh? The present Prime Minister of Malaysia is called Najib. The previous Prime Minister, Mahathir, they all knew, because I was working with him, he knew all about Sai very much. But Najib, I never talked much about Baba to him, okay? So one day, I was working in Zambia for this economic thing, with the Japanese. So at that time, Najib, the Prime Minister, comes to Zambia. So what I did was, since I was there, I went and briefed the Zambian President, sir, when the Prime Minister comes, I know you're going to ask for a lot of things, because Malaysia is so developed. Let me tell you what you should ask for, that they'll give, So I said, this is they'll give, so don't have anything else, they won't give, So he took the present, took the notes. Then when the Prime Minister arrived, I went and met him in the morning. So I said, they're going to ask you for this, okay? He wrote down notes. So they're going to ask you for this, I think this we can give, So then I went back to the, I was not part of the Malaysian Prime Minister team, I was part of the Zambian President's team, they understand this. So now after 1 hour later, they had a meeting in the President's office. So once the President here, Mahathir, Najib was here, the Malaysian Prime Minister, and all the ministers of Zambia was on the one side, and all the Malaysian delegation was on one side. I was on the Zambian government side, sitting behind the minister. Najib comes and says, hey Jaka, what are you doing there? No, sir, I'm now here, I'm representing the Zambian government. Oh, I said, okay. So now, because I'd already prepared the thing for both sides, the official discussion half an hour finished.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're talking about Manchester United, football and all kind of things, okay? Then the Zambian Prime Minister, President, tells the Malaysian Prime Minister, Zambia is a multi-religious nation. I was surprised when he said, because 95% Christians, that's why, He said, for example, I'm Catholic. He is a Seventh-day Adventist.
Mm-hmm.
He is a Jehovah's Witness. So for them, these are all multi-religious, okay?
Different variants of Christianity.
Christianity is multi-religious. So then my Prime Minister said, Malaysia is a multi-religious religion. So for example, I'm a Muslim. Then this minister here, he's a Christian. And the other gentleman there is a Muslim. The other one is a Buddhist. He went on introducing, not the name, but just the religious thing. I was sitting this side, so he didn't look at me. So when he finished, I said, sir, don't forget, I'm a Hindu. And he replied, yeah, Jaga, you're Hindu, but you are Sai Baba, you are universal.
Wow.
He said,
compliment.
Exactly. I was stunned, he said, Jaga, I know you're Hindu, but you are Sai Baba, you are universal, he said. That was an incredible statement he made again. And I was almost in tears. He is a man who I have not talked much about. I have not much close contact with the present Prime Minister. The previous one, in government, I had a lot of contact again. For him to say that, shows the work we have done, is being recognized again. Then later when we had dinner, he called me to come and sit down there. Hey, Jaga, see, I told them, you're Hindu, you're Sai Baba, universal. I said, thank you very much. Keep up, you're doing good work. He said. So like this, Christ said, by our work we'll be known. But if you do things that 1,000 other NGOs are doing, who will know? Why should anyone care? We do something so different, so beneficial.
Up our ante and take
exactly
it to the next level.
Next level. Mm-hmm. Then, Swami's name.
And I think that nation building is the call of the moment. There's so many social issues.
Sai movement must become a force in nation building.
Mm-hmm.
That must be the vision of every leader. Not sit down, clap hands and go home.
Mm-hmm. so much learning here. Thank you so very much. And at Radio Sai, we like to cover all Seva stories from around the world. And I have actually placed a request with Brother Dr. Suresh Govind that we would like to have more detailed on-the-ground Seva stories from Kuala Lumpur, from across Malaysia, of the initiatives that you spoke, whether it's HOPE or whether it is...
Interfaithing.
Yeah, what did you call it? The CAP? CAP?
Yeah, yeah.
And ABC?
ABC, yeah.
All these projects that you spoke of, if they can produce radio documentaries, we are willing to be partners and help in whatever way to motivate and train the team on the ground so that we can bring these stories to millions of Radio Sai listeners. Yes. And more people can learn from them and see how they can apply similar tactics and strategies in their local communities and their countries to actually translate Swami's vision into nation building.
Ah, thank you. This is anytime we are always tell people we are servants only, you know. You see, ask us to do, we do. You know, I tell people, I'm a robot, you know. They tell me, Jaya, stand, stand, sit, sit, walk, walk, speak, speak, speak. So we do, you know. So like this, we know that what we have done, I always tell people, you know, what we do must inspire others. You know, and what will inspire, only if something so, like the 100 watt bulb, you know. If we produce another 40 watt bulb, you know, who cares, okay. So like this, I mean, we talk about isolation. We'll tell about the program you've done, you know.
At the university level, he was telling
you. University level, yes. Was, and now the whole university now is there with us.
Yeah.
And with the, I mean, now so many ministries now are now working with us. And talk about the cross, over cross-border service. We did this thing in North Korea, you know. And do you know that we received the second highest award? But North Korea, what we did in North Korea, and it's a stunning miracle story there.
It's hard to believe anybody could get through to North Korea,
leave alone
to do this kind of work. So obviously you have broken a lot of glass ceilings and you have made inroads into areas people thought could not be ventured into. So I think there's a lot of learning here and we are very keen to work and I hope we can bring these stories to life for our listeners around the world to take lessons from because we can always inspire each other. And know what it is that, where you found the obstacles and how you overcame them. And also how all these people that you motivate to work with you, surely they must have personal lives, family lives, professional lives. How do they strike a balance and how do they manage their time and commitment? Personally, I find once you commit, Swami takes over your life and He creates opportunities. But that's someone's, my personal experience, and I cannot force somebody else to follow the same path. But when they hear this message repeatedly from a lot of people who commit themselves to Swami's work, I think it will really motivate a lot of us.
You know, I tell you, you put it right on the head, okay, this one. Because all our world, Suresh, myself, all of us that are working in Malaysian government, everyone, all lawyers, doctors, you know. You know, we, Baba's message, I take that, okay. Swami say, well, I take it very seriously, okay. Very seriously. Baba talked about Yoga Shema. You know, Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita talked about Yoga Shema. He says, dedicate yourself to me, do my work. I will look after Yoga Shema. Yoga Shema in the context means, whatever you have in life, I'll preserve for you. Whatever you need in life, I will give you. It's a divine assurance. You must see, how all these guys are sacrificing so much of their time to do all this other work, you know, for God's sake. Sometimes you'll think, how are they sustaining their professional life, you know? Professional life starts to boom, 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 suddenly starts to really go. I mean, this really, Yoga Shema in Malaysia is not a joke. It's not a quotation. It's a reality. So is another exam, myself, Billy Fong, you know, all these people, you know. We kept doing so much, but in the meantime, in our professional lives, things happen that you cannot even imagine is happening, you know. So like this, many of our youth, no, have been highly motivated by the fact that there are examples of others who have done it. They themselves are preaching. Not because they hope to get something out of it, but in doing, suddenly they find things are happening, you know, in their lives, okay?
Yes, as Swami said, you do my work and I will do yours.
Exactly.
That is many people's first-hand experience.
This is the thing.
Dr. J. Jagdishan, thank you very much for sharing your experiences, your wisdom, your insights with Radio Sai listeners.
I prefer you call me Brother Jagdish and Dato anyway. Brother is more precious to me.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate your presence here.
Thank you, ma. Thank you very much. God bless you, ma.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram. Thank you.
9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
जीवन के इस मोड़ पर आशा तुम्हारी है साईं, जीवन के सफर में हम सफर तुम्हीं हो साईं, तुम्हीं से हमने जीना सीखा, हाँ तुम्हीं से साईं, इसलिए हमको तुम्हीं से प्यार, इसलिए हमको तुम्हीं से
Adam, dear listeners, what you heard till now was a conversation with Dato'ji Jagdishan from Malaysia, one of Swami's devotees there who's steering human social service there. The conversation was recorded in our studio just a while ago, and in conversation with him was Radio Sai's Karuna Munshi. Dear listeners, the time now in our studio is just a little while before 12:30, when Arvind and myself, Prem from Team Radio Sai, will be joining you for the afternoon satsang. So till then, we'll just play out a few songs for you. Don't go away. We're going to be with you in less than 5 minutes.
Thank you. Oh,